What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. Hopefully everybody's Tuesday's off to a great start. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good over here on a Tuesday as the NFL and playoffs come to an end late last night.
I didn't stay up till the end of that one.
A complete blowout.
Yeah, that one ended a little early for me.
And it looked like it was going to start from the beginning, like, oh, hell. Like,
oh, damn. All
oh,
right.
Damn, yeah. The Rams, I'm telling you, man, when they're healthy, they are a problem, yep. brother. And you saw that last night as they just demolished the Vikings. It was crazy because defensively, when they got one of the better young defenses in ball, mm-hmm. and all of them are Rams, mm-hmm. meaning they drafted them.
Yep.
Yeah, they
yep.
drafted
really
them.
Really well drafted.
And – you know, I know we talked years ago when he's like blanked them picks. Well, he's trying to win the Super Bowl. All right, we won the Super Bowl. Now we got to get these picks back and go get some players. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did. These dudes, I know going to Philly, I mean, I think people take Philly over them. But it ain't going to be no easy win, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm just.
No. I mean, we've talked about it with them for the entire season. And probably not as much about their defense as maybe you should. But when you've got Stafford, you've got Kyren Williams, you've got Puka Nacua, and you've got Cooper Kupp, they win at about a 70% rate.
Yeah.
They're one of the better teams in the NFC when they have all those guys. They just don't often have all those guys. And Cooper Kupp played, wasn't super effective last night because he's still banged up, yeah. but he's out there, and so he's still a little bit of a threat. Yeah, that young defense is phenomenal.
Yeah, man.
Now, obviously, the reaction from some here is going to be when Jared Verse does what he does. Well, damn, that would –
But you want to have Michael Penix?
Wouldn't have Michael Penix. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that is, I think it's an important part of the conversation. Because just play that scenario out in your mind. If they do that, I don't know how much better the team is if they do that. And then now we're talking about, like, what do you do with Kirk?
Yeah.
Because you don't have a backup plan.
Right.
At least now you have a backup plan. And again, like last night, and there's a couple different situations in the NFL that are kind of like this. I think Minnesota is similar to some, but also unique as well. Because Darnold for the entire year was the darling,
yep.
right? I mean, he was career resurrected.
But everybody was waiting for him. But it was always a but. It was always with him a yeah, but.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it always was.
And then he has his two worst games of the year in the two biggest games of the year. They also happen to be the two final games of the year. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much money he cost himself, but it wasn't a little bit.
Andy, they said the projected before the Viking game, before the Lions game, right?
Uh-huh.
Projected contract average per year for Sam Darnold was $54 million. It came out this morning. The projection for Sam Darnold's $40 million.
Yeah, okay. So, a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot.
And what he did...
That's such a perfect microcosm for the quarterback market
yes,
in general.
Yes.
Because that's crazy.
Yes.
Like, $54 million for Sam Darnold in the first place, even if he balled out in the
yes.
Lions game and yesterday.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes.
It's like, there's not that many guys in the NFL that are actually worthy of that type of money. Many of the people that are getting that money aren't worthy of that type of money, but
yes.
whatever. It's the market. Get what you can get. The idea that it's that impacted by two games is...
it's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
But then also it puts into a situation where Minnesota knows now, okay, we're not going to get in a bidding war for this guy.
Yep.
We got a quarterback on a rookie contract, and can we go find another bridge guy until he's ready? Because he did get hurt in training camp mm-hmm. and everything like that, so I don't know what's going to be his status as far as playing. But we look at this guy, Kevin O'Connell. And this man can coach his ass off, especially offensively. Can we find – or we got Daniel Jones on the roster. I don't know how long he's – can we find a way to bridge to J.J. is ready? Because I think that's another thing that when you talk about what happened with Sam Darnold was he let – I mean, because you remember before the Detroit game, boy, they were water bottles.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody – and Kevin O'Connell was
that was 15 days ago.
Kevin O'Connell was staring at him like, what if I wasn't married?
Yeah, no, they were about to have a love affair.
Yeah, and then, I mean.
He wished that wasn't water. He was hoping that was baby oil.
It comes at you fast, man.
Yeah.
It comes at you fast. And so now, you know, now that their season is over, and I mean, and they all wasn't on Sam Darnold because they can protect them. I mean, the Rams did the exact same thing that Detroit did as far as their game plan. And they doubled DJ, and they brought extra guys. A lot of times it's for Jeff versus a man. He's a grown. That bull rush is just, I mean, he puts grown men on their ass. And I know people talk about the fumble that wasn't. His arm was shoveling forward. Talking about Stafford.
No, it was a savvy play.
Yeah, it was shoveling forward.
I'd be furious if I was the Vikings, but it was a savvy play.
The one he should have got on was the Kyron Williams fumble, because he did fumble the football. Luckily, you know, that's why they also you run to the football with your offensive player. They fell on it and everything like that. But yeah, it was just, you know, the Rams when they're old. First of all, they got an elite coach. I think Sean McVay is an elite football coach, and then their draft picks all pan out and they all contribute because you don't have a lot of money. I mean, you got so much money tied up in staff and then also in Cup and things like that. You're gonna have to pay Puka soon, and so now you got in a situation where you know you got to it's draft develop, draft develop, draft develop, draft develop, and now you've done an excellent job of that. And you know they were 1-4. Everybody's like, what the hell's going on with the Rams? And staff was banged up and all those different things. And then all of a sudden they're going to run. And now they're in a situation where they're going to Philly, and I give them a chance at Philly. I don't think they'll beat Philly, but, I mean,
yeah, who knows?
It's Tuesday.
Yeah,
it's
who knows?
Tuesday. I might change my mind about it.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Philly certainly hasn't looked great. You don't know what's up with Jalen Hurts. They didn't look amazing offensively in that win over Green Bay. So who knows? I mean, the Rams are really good when they're whole. They also have the two things that you have to have to be able to compete in the playoffs and compete at the highest level, which they've done recently, win the Super Bowl. You have to have a great quarterback, and you have to have a great coach.
Yep.
And they have both of them.
Yep.
I think the Vikings have a great coach. I think Kevin O'Connell really is one of those types of guys.
He got a coach last night.
Outcoached?
Yeah.
Okay. So. But I also think that what happened with Sam Darnold is kind of what happened. I don't want to completely crap on the season that he had because it was a really impressive season, especially given what his career had been. But we've also seen this from guys like that over the last handful of years where it's like situation is such a big part of quarterback play in the NFL.
Everything,
exactly.
Yes.
Offense, coaching, players around you, all that kind of stuff. Like, guys don't get drafted in the top 10 in the NFL very often if they don't have something.
Right?
And then you bounce around a little bit, and then you find, Sam Darnold found his way to Minnesota in an O'Connell offense with those wide receivers this year. That's perfect. Oh, Geno Smith found his way to Seattle in that offense where they weren't asking him to do too much, and he's capable of what they're asking him to do, which is awesome. Oh, Baker Mayfield found his way into an actual football organization where they can protect him, and he's not playing for the Panthers anymore or the Browns or whatever. Problem is, that's great. Those are great stories. There's also a ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. Like, guys that sort of bounce around for a reason, part of it is because they're in bad franchises. Part of it is, you know,
the ceiling.
They're only that good.
Right.
Like, they're fine. But your ceiling is what it is with those guys, I feel like. And maybe I'm oversimplifying it, whatever. But, like, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, you got to have a Super Bowl caliber quarterback.
Well, I agree.
If you're going to, you can go 14-3. Vikings went 14-3 a couple years ago with Kirk Cousins.
They did.
And then they lost in the first round of playoffs because the ceiling was Kirk Cousins. I could not help but think about that a little bit this weekend and last night of, like, obviously, I don't know what. It wasn't the ceiling this year with the Falcons. If it was at the floor, was that as bad as it could have been? It probably could have been worse if he would have sucked the whole year as opposed to just starting to suck in November. But, like, we would have been rapidly approaching the ceiling, or the ceiling already would have just got hit.
Right.
And then we'd be having a very different conversation. It would have been a more fun conversation, and it would have been more fun to go to the playoffs.
If they would have lost on Sunday,
be
a lot
better. Maybe even they win. Because, like ceiling potential with Kirk Cousins playing the way he was playing midseason, maybe even beats Washington in the first round. Because you would have been where Tampa was, right? Like, they almost beat him. Maybe you beat him. So the ceiling would have been getting dropped by Detroit this weekend,
right?
Which would have been better than what happened.
Hell yeah!
But it still would have been the ceiling,
right?
Like, and that's why when you and I talked about him and them and what this was going to be and all that kind of stuff, we always talked about it fully pumping the brakes of like, yeah, it might be better, but what's better?
What's better? That's why what I kept saying, and that's why I was always alluding to the whole outrunning the South. Is that all you're thinking about?
Exactly.
because
exactly.
You know too, like this is the peak where he's been.
The peak was going to be beating Washington Sunday,
yes.
And then getting your ass kicked by the Lions this weekend,
yeah.
Which again would have been way better
yes.
than what actually happened,
right.
Which was a full blown disaster. And you know, you got to eat all the money and all that kind of stuff, but that's what it was like. And that's why when you always get back to, you know, the stated goal of every franchise is competing for championships.
It should be.
Some
people know that.
You're not doing that.
Right.
They weren't competing. They were never, no matter, I don't know what would have had to have happened in order for them to compete for a championship with Kirk Cousins at quarterback.
Your defense would have to be better.
Your
defense would have to be better.
Yeah, way better.
Yes.
So, ultimately, the ride was going to end at some point. Probably was going to be this coming weekend, even in the best case scenario. And then we would have started having that conversation of, okay, well, he's not good enough to get us over the hump. Maybe it's Penix time.
Yes. And you never know.
At least it's already Penix time.
It's Penix time, exactly.
Just like with the Vikings last night. At least they didn't give Sam Darnold $55 million.
Yes. Like, and now they see it to a point where, because I remember, you know, months ago, and everybody was asking when he was playing well, because he was, you know, they have not. And they kept asking. And I know the insider, they all said, no, they have not exchanged any kind of contract offers or anything. They open negotiations with Sam Darnold whatsoever. Because they were in a wait-and-see mode.
Yeah, we need to see what he does when it matters most.
Exactly. And when we needed him the most. And again, all that ain't on his fault. The protection was bad, but I give him.
You got sacked nine times.
You got sacked nine damn times. But a lot of that, you look at it from a standpoint of how fast are you processing where these guys are coming.
Yep.
You know, where are these guys coming from? What is my... my hot route or something like that. That's why I was talking about the coaching part of Kevin O'Connell. Why y'all should have gave him something else and everything like that. But, yeah, sometimes whenever, you know, you hate to see it, but then that goes back to then what is his move? What is his next move? Come on, Sam Darnold. What is his next move?
Yeah, I mean,
I think he'll be a starter next
year. Play the market. Yeah, I mean, see who gives you the most money and go there.
Yeah, and so, you know, it was crazy. We talked yesterday when I did some Cleveland stuff yesterday. And, you know, their first question, most of their question was about Kirk Cousins because they're looking at it from a standpoint. And they all, when something works in one area, people always look to see if it'll work with them. And everybody wanted to speak on the whole Steelers and Russell Wilson taking the league minimum and everything like that. And they're looking at Kirk Cousins in that form. And so, I mean, I've never seen nobody fall off like that.
Yeah.
And so if you're telling me that, you know, that it was, okay, 37 years old, coming off an Achilles, he'll have another full year, whatever, off the Achilles, he's going to be better, then I have no reason not to believe you. All I know is what I saw this year.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like the Achilles was affecting him when he was winning damn players of a week.
No.
You know what I mean? So if you're telling me that he's going to do it, and you're telling me that he's going to go play in Cleveland, outdoors, and that zip.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me?
In that organization, with that track record, with quarterbacks, yeah. No, it'll probably work out great. They should take him.
Yeah.
They should take him. I'm just glad that conversation of talking yourself into, you know, guys are better in year two off the Achilles is going to be somebody else's problem,
yeah.
Not ours.
Yeah.
Because
that's going to be –
I didn't want to say those words.
But the thing about it, the selling point –
I don't think I would have said
but
them.
The biggest thing about the selling point to go and get Kurt is that you don't have to pay him.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You don't have to pay him because the Falcons are going to pay him.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's right. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show on a Tuesday. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Darnold balls out. Picked up by Verse. Off to the races. And gone for the touchdown.
That was awesome how he jumped into the end zone. That's like one of those things that if you can do it, you should. I like that he did that. It was a little like Superman dive, flip, whatever. The Rams beat the absolute brakes off the Vikings last night. That thing was over at halftime. It was 24-3 at halftime. And the fairy tale's over for the Vikings and Sam Darnold and all that. Now they got J.J. McCarthy, and they've got some decisions to make. And there's a lot of teams in the NFL that have quarterback decisions to make. But
this draft also.
That's true.
Is not the quarterback draft.
There's a couple. But, yeah.
But, I mean,
if you look at
the depth-wise of this draft, it's not there.
Like, not like last year.
Like, I don't – hell, I say that every damn year. I don't see somebody reaching for a quarterback this year.
Right.
You know, reaching for another first-round quarterback outside of Cam and Shador.
I just don't even know who it would be. Like, we've talked about this a little bit. Like, you know, Milroe maybe, but I don't see how you can do that given the way that he played for the majority of the season. I don't know. Maybe there's it's kind of a dark horse that you're not thinking of.
Like somebody from South Dakota State or something.
Yeah, there's exactly some Montana State guy. I think Montana Montana or Montana State did have the player of the year in that at that level, mm-hmm. but I don't know that he's coming out. Never, it doesn't matter.
The championship game was just on the TV.
Yeah, I was watching it.
Yeah,
it was on the other night.
Yeah,
I think they called him like Touchdown Tommy or something like that was his name.
Uh-oh.
It was a great
Uh-oh.
Nickname. I think they lost the game. Anyway, doesn't matter. Rams are on to the next round. Matthew Stafford played really well last night. That defense is rough, man.
Yeah, man.
And Jared Verse right there scoring that touchdown you just heard is a big part of it. They've drafted well. That tends to be like when you talk about teams that have good defenses,
mm-hmm.
that tends to be how
a lot
you do
of their
it.
Own people are on
yeah,
that defense.
Yeah. Draft, yeah. develop, retain,
yep.
repeat.
Yep. That's what they did. And it was so crazy because it's like when you look at this organization, it's like two tails of the organization. You know, they went all in. Obviously, you move out to L.A. and everything like that. Mm-hmm. You have Todd Gurley in him. Mm-hmm. You go to the Super Bowl. Doesn't work out. You get rid of your quarterback. So it's like a third phase, actually.
Yeah.
And then you go get Matt Stafford. You blank all them picks. You go get Jalen Ramsey and Von Miller and all those players. And then you're centered around football players ever. One-man wrecking crew, Aaron Donald.
Right.
Aaron Donald retires, but yet while he's still playing, you're drafting these guys to play along with him, learn and everything from him, and then you hit a grand slam with your first-round pick of this year into the next one.
Have they had the same GM the whole time?
It's been Les, baby.
Les been the GM the whole time. Because, I mean, it's three kind of eras.
And Les came from St. Louis. Les came from St. Louis.
Okay.
Right.
But it's like drafted well, got McVay,
mm-hmm.
went to the Super Bowl, didn't work. Blank those picks
mm-hmm.
because we know if we go all in on what we need, which is a quarterback, we can do it right now because we have the ingredients surrounding him to be able to do it right now. And also, I can just draft well again.
Yep.
I'll just draft my way out of this because, all right, we traded some first and second rounders to build out this roster. I'll just get Pro Bowlers in the third.
Because you remember,
I'll get all pros in the fourth.
Remember that was the thing when we talked when people – the running joke about it, they don't have their own pick until 2025.
Right.
Or 2024. Back, but, yeah, that was always
first the round pick,
yeah,
right?
The first round pick, yeah. yeah. And so that was always the thing. But
when you get Puka Nacua in the fourth,
yes.
then you're living well.
Exactly. And so they know how to – Sean McVay knows what he's doing. And he has the right coaching.
That's part of it,
and obviously Les is an outstanding GM, identifying talent, drafting the talent, and then them putting it into the system to give them the work.
That's the recipe. That's the recipe. If it was easy as that, more teams would do it. But
yep.
that is the recipe. Falcons are going to interview Lou Anarumo. That is official. They're going to interview him coming up. Now, him and Jesse Bates have a relationship.
Yep.
I don't know that that's why you hire a defensive coordinator. But he's got a good history. I mean, to the Super Bowl with him at D.C. a couple years ago. He was a hot candidate.
He was.
Stuck around and ended up getting fired.
Yep.
But
I mean, because they did the one thing that, you know, when we talk about with the Falcons, that they put all their resources on offense. Rightfully so. And they lost guys like Jesse Bates and guys like that, and other really good defenders, and their draft picks haven't hit on defense like they did. They tried to draft defenders and stuff like that. It just hasn't hit the way they wanted to. They spent their money on offensive tackles to protect Joe Burrow. They had to lose some guys like Joe Mixon, who were still playing at a high level, to give them some balance on offense. And they're going to get to a situation where they're going to lose T. Higgins. They can't pay both of them top, like, number one money. They just can't.
Not if they want their defense to ever
exactly.
not suck again.
And so they're going to have to do a lot of things like that. So, yeah, Lou's a very qualified guy. Just like you said, he was up for coaching jobs.
Yeah.
Head coaching
he
jobs.
Was. He was a hot candidate a couple years ago, and, you know how it goes. So maybe the Falcons will bring him in. We'll see. They're certainly going to interview a whole bunch of different folks. As are the Cowboys, probably. One name that we didn't mention yesterday, I don't know how we didn't, but we didn't. We were kind of focused on the young, controllable, offensive-minded guys.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, then there's Deion.
Yeah.
That's right. Deion played for the Cowboys. He's got a relationship with Jerry Jones. Here's Adam Schefter on that potential marriage.
And I go back to about a year and a half ago when I had a former general manager say to me, watch Deion Sanders. There's a real possibility he may be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Well, there is mutual interest. We'll see if that amps up. But the two sides have talked. They have touched base. And we'll see if it goes anywhere.
Well, I mean, you want to talk about brand. You want to talk about, like, bigger than life. You go get Deion and put him with Dallas.
Which is all Jerry Jones cares about.
Yeah. But that's the thing, though. Can he – because Deion is going to be the show.
Right.
Deion's going to –
that's true.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's
can
true.
Jerry give up that – like? No, it's going to be about Prime.
Yeah, Deion would be the headliner.
Yes, it's going to be about Prime. Now, it's a funny situation because he said last week, I think it was, like, you know, he only wants to coach in the league if he can coach his son. Well, you're not going to coach your girl.
Right.
All right, okay, the cost of doing business and getting rid of Dak Prescott, it'll collapse everything.
I know. I saw people suggesting that yesterday. It's like
no.
it's a quick Google search just to look at Dak Prescott's contract.
No.
He's got the biggest quarterback contract in the league.
Yes.
And
he just signed it.
He just signed it. This was the first year.
Yeah, he just signed it.
He's going to be making $60 million a year.
Yeah, so that probably won't happen and everything. And that's the thing with Jerry. And I know that Deion come back said that, it's intriguing. I mean, if Jerry calls you about the head coach job, you're going to listen.
Sure.
I don't care who you are.
And they have a great relationship and all that.
You're going to listen and everything like that. But he loves it in Boulder and everything like that. And, he wants to coach his son. Well, I mean, either way, you stay in Boulder, you go to Dallas, you're not going to coach your son.
That's right.
You might go get – no, I don't – whatever. Shiloh. Like, because that's the thing about it. Like, his son's like unless Shiloh can, bulk up and maybe be a linebacker – he ain't gonna make it. He barely made it in college as a damn safety.
Yeah.
Okay, so coming to the league trying to play safety the way his lateral movement is, it ain't gonna work.
No.
It ain't gonna work, homie.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Now, I do think that there's, it's Jerry Jones. This is the Dallas Cowboys. Like, he can make an offer that Deion can't refuse.
Oh, no doubt about it.
He can put together a package that Deion Sanders would have to be like, all right, look, man, let's do it.
I'm serious.
Let's do it.
No, Jerry can do that. Jerry can put together where, the border regions up there in Boulder, it was fun while it lasted.
Nothing we can do, man.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for the memories. Thanks for the Heisman. Thanks for the memories.
They can actually do that.
Yeah, they can. He can't do that. Now, you're right. Jerry would have to be willing to sort of be the second fiddle to the, but also what he wants more than anything is for the Cowboys to be in the headlines 365 days a year, and they almost are. This would cement it.
Oh, no doubt about it.
This would be, I can't think of another scenario that there's no other realistic scenario, but just take the headlines of the hot take shows on TVs and what they do. It's Deion and the Cowboys every day anyway, separately.
Right.
You put, this would be, if LeBron got divorced and started dating Caitlin Clark or something.
Yeah.
That's what this would be.
Yeah, man.
I don't know, what other possibilities there are.
I don't think it would be. Or, say, for instance, they went and gave North Carolina $10 million for
Bill Belichick. Wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, but no, I mean.
Still wouldn't be as good.
And it's so crazy because that would be the thing. It would be the shine. Deion would he would automatically walk into that locker room and have instant credibility. We all know that. As far as how people view this man. And I mean, and he's been successful damn near everywhere he's been. And that's another thing. And could he be a voice of reason where he's like, hey, Jerry, chill out, man.
I don't know.
Because I don't know if that voice still exists. I still don't believe, and we talk about the radio show and everything, I still don't believe that's the reason they're not good, because Jerry goes on radio. I think they don't win a lot of times because Jerry is the voice, and it trumps the coach. Meaning, if I got a problem with your coach, and Prime ain't gonna deal with that.
Yeah, no, yeah, I mean, I think just the radio show is not the reason.
Right.
But it's a symptom of the bigger reason, which is he wants to be the attraction.
He wants to be the star. Yeah, exactly.
He wants to be the star.
So how's he gonna bring Deion Sanders in?
Can't.
He can't.
Those two things don't go together.
Yeah.
So maybe Deion's not the voice of reason to talk him out of all the nonsense.
Right.
But maybe Deion's so appealing to him
that he'll step back.
He would take it, which I don't buy.
Hell no.
I don't buy it. Not now.
No, Jerry.
You ever heard the phrase, you can't teach old dogs new tricks? That's the oldest dog.
Jerry got rid of Jimmy Johnson when the triplets were in their prime. No.
Right.
When they were going into the, going into their prime.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, really? Okay, fine. You can go.
Yeah, go on. We don't need you.
We don't need you. We don't need you.
Turns out we did.
Yeah, man.
Turns out we did. I don't know. I mean, the possibility of it is just so tantalizing.
It is.
Would it just be hilarious.
It is.
I mean, who knows? Maybe it would work. Maybe it wouldn't. But, man, just the amount of people it would infuriate. It would be fun to watch. It would be fun to watch if that actually happened.
If not him, I think Kellen Moore. And I think Kellen Moore, and for some reason, it just still will be said his name as Dave. I want Jason Witten might get that.
He's never coached anybody.
He coached in high school. They won a state championship.
Right, but you know what I mean.
I know what you're talking about.
No offense to Jason Witten, but you know what I mean.
Love that brother down there, man.
Yeah, no, it's good to be a Cowboy.
Love him.
It's good to be a Cowboy.
What did they do to Troy?
I don't know. He's right.
Yeah, he's 100%
he's right.
But damn, Troy.
I don't know. Troy's had enough. Yeah. Troy, he's got the they're on ESPN now, right?
Yeah.
He's got the Disney money.
Yeah,
he's just saying what he feels. He doesn't care. He's right, by the way. All right, we'll come back. Mike Conte is going to join us. We'll talk some Atlanta Hawks. They're back at it tonight after an unexpected prolonged absence. Had their game canceled over the weekend. They got the Suns. We'll talk some Atlanta United as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. get back into some of the biggest stories around the league and some audio to back it up. Talk about some of the NFL head coach openings as well. Back page with Bo an hour from right now. Tuesdays at 11:40, though, mean Mike Conte joins the show. This hour brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. Mike, good morning. How are you?
What's up, guys? Good to see you.
I'm not going to ask how the football game was because I know how it was. But it was, it's a good run. It's a great run.
It's hard.
How are you? You all right?
It's hard for I still can't really talk about it. If you were to ask me on Friday, I'd probably start crying.
Fair.
So I feel like I'm improving a little bit in that regard. But you know what it's like because you were here almost to the same extent last year. You guys went to the championship game.
At least we got smoked, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't a throw in the fourth
quarter.
Honestly,
I would rather lose 42 to nothing than lose the way that Penn State did. But I feel like with this format and with some programs just so far ahead of others in the NIL game right now, that's probably the last time in my lifetime that I'm going to see Penn State get that far. And that's what sucks.
You think like so?
Let me tell you why. Okay, let me tell you why.
The quarterback, both 1,000-yard backs are coming back.
Oh, I can't wait for that quarterback to come back. Yeah, he was awesome the other night. And you're right. Like, I was excited to see Singleton and Allen are coming back. Tonight, Dennis Sutton's coming back. Like, that, honestly, I think that's a really good sign. Like, you have a lot of guys who would have been maybe second, third, fourth round picks deciding to come back, take one more shot at that.
Speaks to the NIL, too, because other people were calling them.
It does, I'm sure. And look, I would idealistically like to think that part of it might be that you have a good culture up there, and maybe it's a little bit less about NIL and portal, a little bit more about just the culture. That's kind of what I'm hoping. I know realistically that's probably not the case.
Yeah.
I think the issue is, Randy, Penn State, their payroll this year was $13 million. That's not competitive with Texas and Ohio State and Notre Dame, who are all over $20 million. I don't know where George is at. I'm assuming they're probably going to be over $20 million. The problem is at Penn State, you've got alumni who are still believing that this is the Joe Paterno era of college football, that the idea of NIL is abhorrent and they're not going to pay into it. And that's going to put Penn State at a disadvantage. Look, they're going to adjust the format to make it harder on team. Like, Penn State got a cake draw this year. Cake.
Right.
That will not happen again. You know, they'll take out the automatic bid or buys for the conference champions, or they'll do something. It's just going to be harder from here on out. This is their shot, and they blew it. And that's what they do all the time. They blow it.
Do you think the team that beat them, do you think they can hang with Ohio State?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're tough. And they have a miraculous ability to come back from concussions. That's weird, too. Did I say that?
Yeah.
I'm still not over it.
It's
really hard for me to talk.
Oh, you never
about.
Will be. You never will be. It's okay.
Like, the guy is not senseless. Penn State completely pivots at halftime to adjust for the backup quarterback, and then Riley Leonard puts a Superman cape back on. That's the fastest I've ever seen anyone clear concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
An absolute miracle. Again,
it's
I'm not
a miracle
over.
Of modern medicine. You should be happy for him.
I think it's going to be a very good game here on Monday. I don't think Ohio State blows them out. Mm-hmm. I think they're two very physical teams, two teams that play very good defense. I think Notre Dame has a better quarterback than Ohio State. That could equalize things a little bit. I think Ohio State probably ends up winning this game. But I don't think they blow out Notre Dame at all. I think we have seen, even in the one occasion where Notre Dame lost this year, they're in every ball game.
Right.
So I would not be shocked if Notre Dame pulled this upset on Monday. I think Ohio probably ends up winning it. And, Big Ten. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Back-to-back national champions.
Big Ten pride. That's
yeah.
right.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Back-to-back national champions.
The SEC people do it. We got to do it, too.
Well, look,
we got to band together, Mike.
I was thinking about this today.
Coast to coast.
I was thinking about this today. Penn State, they will end up this year having lost to the national champion, the national runner-up, and the Big Ten champion, who was number one all year, Oregon.
Right.
Okay. Georgia, not to be silly here, but Georgia lost to the Gator Bowl champion, the ReliaQuest Bowl loser, and then either the national champion or runner-up. Just think that's interesting. Just pointing things out.
Yeah, they also were the SEC champion.
They were. And congratulations.
Yeah, they were.
I don't think that means what it meant 2 years
ago. Of course.
Ago.
But if Penn State won the Big Ten, I bet you would make it. It would be a big deal, right?
Well, if Penn State would have won the Big Ten, they would not have made this playoff run because they would have been
they probably would knocked have lost down
in the Rose Bowl. It might have been different. It might have been different.
That's my question, though, because, like, look, Penn State won 2 playoff games, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's great. That's great. You and many in your fan base don't trust your coach. Do you feel differently about your coach this season at all, one way or the other?
James Franklin did a great job. And when we talk about all these kids passing up second and third round draft grades to come back, it has to be a reflection on the culture that he has created and that you have guys that want to play for him. He's done a great job. And you know I'm critic number one of James Franklin. I thought it was incredibly cheap the way that ESPN and others were taking shots at him after the game on Thursday, pointing out his record against top 10 teams.
Yeah.
If you watch that game, and again, this is really hard for me to talk about, but if you watch that game Thursday, how can you objectively say that that game was lost by Penn State because of a coaching error?
No.
That's absolutely absurd.
I would state aggressive.
It's low-hanging fruit.
That's absolutely absurd. Yeah. I thought it was cheap.
It is.
And it just goes – the way that ESPN has covered college football over the last month is miserable. You know, dating back to Indiana shouldn't be there and all that. Well, I was very disappointed about it. Now, all that being said, what did I tell you guys a month ago? Guys, you watch. He's going to win 2 playoff games, and he's going to hang his hat on that, and they're going to be playoff wins over SMU and Boise State. What does that really mean?
Right.
And that might still be fair to say. I don't know. But I don't think you can look at, like, look, again, the 3 teams that they will have lost to this year, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Oregon, they were not unprepared in any of those 3 games. They did not lose any of those 3 games on coaching errors. They lost those 3 games because the team with better talent won the game.
Right.
So you can't really hang that on coaching, I don't think.
Which is, I mean, you look at the record against top 5 teams, they've only been favored in 2 of them.
Yep.
That tends to be what happens. Like, they get beat by teams that are just a little bit better than them.
That guy, Franklin, is elite at winning and covering against teams that he should beat.
Yep.
Elite. You know, and he's very consistent in losing the games that they are underdogs.
Well, the hardest thing to do in college football is to get from that level to the next level.
That's exactly
It's very hard to get from average to consistently good and winning 10, 11 games, all that stuff. But the hardest thing, because Georgia was there forever, was there for 40 years.
Where we were talking about that, really, really good. We always talk about that.
Trying to get over the top. Yeah, yeah.
Mark Richt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the era right there.
That's the reasonable comparison.
I'm just hoping it's not Frank Beamer, you know, because that's another one who got his team, his program really, really close one time, but could never win the big game, ever. And the one time he got them really, really close, Miami was not quite what they were the following year when they got loaded with Dorsey and McGahee and, you know, Will Fork and all those guys. That's what I don't want to see because that if Penn State is comparable to Georgia from 2002 to 2015, that's not a bad program. Georgia should have won the national championship twice in that span. They should have gotten a title shot at least twice in that span.
Right.
That's not a bad place to be. I don't want it to become a Frank Beamer situation where, yeah, you're good. There's a team in your conference that's always going to be better than you. You might get the golden path one year, and you still fall short when you get that chance.
I think this era, though, makes it more likely that teams will have more chances than that era did. Because if Rick had the 12-team playoff, then they could have proved
year.
It. They could have proved it, right?
Yeah.
You don't lose that one heartbreaking game. Look at Ohio State this year. If this was 15, 20 years ago, Ryan Day would be unemployed right now.
That's true.
But instead, he's playing for the national championship on Monday because there's a 12-team playoff, and he's had a chance to bounce back from that horrible loss that would have been their last loss of the season.
Right.
They would have gone to a bowl game, whatever. But, like, this era allows, I think, hopefully, for, I don't know, you make a mistake, whatever, and you can fix it, the best team to actually end up winning the national championship.
When we revisit this conversation in 5 years, it'll be very curious to me if we've gone to just basically a super program era where it's always going to be Texas, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Georgia.
Does it seem like
and maybe
going
one
way?
Or two others.
Does it seem like going away?
I don't think any of those programs are going away.
I said, do you think see it going that way?
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like it might because, again, like, you know, Penn State's a blue blood program that will not be in the same NIL pool. The equalizer would be if somehow there is a national salary cap.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
That then the door is wide open for everyone. Yep. You know, then the door is open for Georgia Tech. The door is open for, you know, Northwestern and Oregon State and all of that.
Well, then the bagmen just come back. Then you just start doing it under the table again.
Well, and then it probably reverts back to the good old SEC again.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah. Anyhow, yeah, look, I have thoroughly enjoyed this playoff. I think it's been fun to have college football extend for a couple more weeks and have it keep going. I am beyond heartbroken at how it ended for Penn State, but for Ohio State and Notre Dame fans, they should be super excited for what's to come on Monday, because I think it's going to be a great game.
I do, too. Mike, we got you for a few more minutes. Hawks, is there any on Jalen Johnson?
Yeah, I wish I knew.
Right.
Because that's, I think, so determinant to how the next couple days and or weeks are going to go for them. Look, the Hawks, and we saw this early in the season, they're just not deep enough to survive an injury to Trae Young and or Jalen Johnson right now. And you know, play above 500 basketball during that stretch. And we saw that in October and November, and then they got healthy and they started playing really well, and now you've got this thing with Jalen. Trey could be out tonight as well. He's got an illness, so he's listed as questionable. It's also, the schedule this month is goofy. You have the Houston game postponed. You play tonight against Phoenix, then you're on the road for another week.
Right.
I think they only have three home games now the rest of this calendar month, which is very tough. I would like to maybe have more definition on Jalen Johnson. If this is one of those deals where, yeah, he could be back in a game or two, I'll feel a lot better. If he's going to be out for a couple weeks, then the Hawks have got to start making some trades. We've already identified they need to find a backup point guard
right. In
the worst way. If Jalen Johnson is going to be out, you know, medium term, you're probably going to have that under consideration as you pick up the phone and you look at addressing this roster before the trade deadline comes up, if you want to compete for a top six spot in the East, which the Hawks are still very much in the mix for.
Yeah, they got the Suns tonight. Both teams 19-19. Suns kind of trending up with Bradley Beal back healthy, coming off the bench, playing well.
And beat them last Thursday.
Yeah, beat them last Thursday. Bradley Beal played well in that game. The Hawks kind of going the other way. Again, it's so determinant on, and it was like this last year too. Yeah. Like, we didn't realize what Jalen Johnson kind of was going to turn into, but they played well early, and then he got hurt. And it was like, dang, the record without him is crazy. He's just so vital, especially to what they want to do defensively. They don't defend at the same level when he's not on the floor, and you got a good offensive team like Phoenix. It's just hard.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, you can get away with this if you're playing the Utah Jazz, and you still needed a half court heave to get by them. It's the margins are so narrow when you're playing a team like the Phoenix Suns, who can, you know, get offense from five guys on the floor. So hopefully you get him back. This is a tough week. You've got to then turn around and go to Chicago, and Chicago has owned you.
Yep.
Chicago has owned you for the last couple of years, and especially the last, you know, what, 12, 13 months. Like, you've really struggled against those guys. And then you got to go to Boston. And
you've owned them.
Don't think that the Celtics aren't alert to the dangers that come with playing the Atlanta Hawks. And then you play the MLK game at the Knicks. Another team that will be shields up against the Hawks. So you'd never want to call a game in January before you're halfway through the season a must win. But, boy, you've got to get something at home tonight.
Yeah.
You really do need to get something at home tonight, because this is a very challenging road trip they have coming up.
Mike, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Mike.
Great stuff,
right,
as
guys.
Always. Hey, if you were looking to watch that Celtics-Hawks game in public somewhere with some friends, come hang out with 92.9 The Game, myself, and Michelob Ultra for the Hawks Watch Party as they take on the Celtics Saturday, January 18th at 6:30 at Veranda in Midtown. Hang out with the Hawks dancers, the flight crew, win Hawks tickets or gift cards to the Hawks shop. That's Saturday, January 18th at 6:30 at Veranda in Midtown, sponsored by Michelob Ultra. Must be 21+. Please drink responsibly. All right. So Coming up in the noon hour, we'll get back into an NFL no huddle, let you hear a little bit of audio. Obviously, the rumors are circulating now that the Cowboys' job is open, some interesting names being thrown around there. We'll get back into some of the other job openings as well in the NFL. We'll get to the back page with Bo. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.